What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Sarge's NBA DFS podcast. I am your host, Sarge. I appreciate you guys tuning in for another episode of the pod. It is, you guessed it, another two-game playoff slate, but I really like today's slate for a couple different reasons that I will discuss on the pod today. And like I said, there's a lot of situations where games blow out in the playoffs. Like you saw those Suns-Nuggets games. The Nuggets were just completely outmatched, right? These two games here today are going to be with teams that are very equally matched and both have opportunities to win the basketball game. It's not Suns-Denver where there's legitimately if they played 10 times, the Nuggets maybe win one game just based off of Jokic going absolutely crazy. These two games today, I mean, almost every game is a 50-50 shot. I think Philly has, more 60-40 shot, but the Hawks are good, man. They're legit, and my buddies brought it up a couple times, but Atlanta's kind of like a young Warriors team where they have a lot of really good pieces, young pieces that just aren't quite there yet, but when they're playing and they're on, you know, they have an opportunity to beat anyone in this league, and Philly's included. So a big part of it is Capella staying out of foul trouble because he is so good defensively. And if he's able to stay out of foul trouble, I think they have a really good shot at beating this Philly team today. And then on the other side of it, you got Jazz and you got Clippers. I know the spread is 5, but Utah is with or without Conley. Conley obviously makes a huge difference. They're just as good as this Clippers team. They're more of a team dynamic where Clippers are more George and Leonard and then kind of throw in a bunch of different lineups around that. But for the most part, these teams are very equally matched. So another great slate here today. I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. I should be back. If there's a one-game slate this week, I'll probably miss out on it. I think it's a one-game tomorrow. That Suns-Nuggets series being already over is going to get us a couple one-game slates, I'm pretty sure. But anytime there's a two-game slate this week, Monday through Friday, I should be getting a podcast out for you guys. But anyway, enjoy this episode today. I will talk to you guys here in a sec. All right, let's jump right into this slate. First game of the day, we got Philly at Atlanta to kick off the night. It starts at 4:30 on the West Coast. And Philly is favored by 3 points in this game. It's in Atlanta. It's a 225.5 point total. I think this is going to be a really good game. I think the Hawks are going to be locked in here. Because if you lose this game and you're the Hawks, this series is over. You're not winning two games. You're not winning two games on Philly's home court. You're just not. Let's say you sneak one out, per se, against Philadelphia in game 5. And you sneak, so it's 2-1 right now, right? You lose this game, you're down 3-1. If you sneak one out game 5 in Philly, you go back home, I still would make Philly the favorite in that game on the road. And then you have to, let's say you sneak that game out and you try to go back into Philly, you're not winning a game 7 in Philadelphia, in my opinion. So this is a must-win game for the Hawks. You have to be ready in this one. They're going to be locked in. I think this is going to be a really nice way to kick off the night because I think we got really two good games today. And there's a lot of times, like that Nuggets-Suns game, that game could have easily blown out, even if Nikola Jokic didn't get ejected. Like, those teams are just completely mismatched, like I said earlier. This is going to be a hell of a slate. Philly-Atlanta starting it off. We'll start on the Philly side. I think Korkmaz gets the start. I don't know why he wouldn't. It's when you have Ben Simmons not being able to shoot, you need a knockdown shooter like Korkmaz in to surround him because without Danny Green is 3-and-D, right? Korkmaz does not have the defensive part of it, but he is an absolute sharpshooter. So Korkmaz on the floor just helps a lot of things out because sometimes even on Danny Green, although he's known as a three-point scorer, he's very inconsistent from the three-point line. So what you'll see is when Joel Embiid is down low, they'll throw guys on him. They won't leave Seth Curry, but they'll leave Danny Green to go down there and double onto Joel Embiid. You can't do that with Korkmaz. Korkmaz is way too good of a three-point shooter. So Korkmaz, I believe, gets the start here. You're going to see a lot of Matisse Thybulle as well. I have Simmons in for 36 minutes. I think some of these guys get a couple extra minutes with Danny Green coming out just because, you know, Doc Rivers doesn't fully trust Shake Milton. He doesn't really trust Tyrese Maxey. He doesn't like playing Howard. It's going to be Simmons picking up a couple extra minutes. Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid, I would assume, picks up a couple extra minutes as well. Maybe some Seth Curry extra minutes. But for the most part, I think they run a 6-7-man rotation here with Thybulle and Milton with the two main pieces coming off the bench. So I have Ben Simmons in for 36. I have Seth Curry in for 32. I have Korkmaz in for 28, although I think he could play up to about 32-ish. Tobias Harris for 38. I have Joel Embiid in for 36. I have Thybulle for 21 off the bench. Shake Milton for 20 off the bench. And then I have Hill Howard and Maxey combining for 19. Wouldn't really play any of those guys. Just don't think they get enough minutes. The one person I think that has the biggest upside here for Philly in terms of their points per dollar is going to be Shake Milton off the bench, because Matisse Thybulle is a hell of a defender and just really takes the load off of Ben Simmons when he's on the floor alongside him, because he can get onto Trae Young and just help Ben Simmons out a little bit in terms of Ben Simmons. When you're guarding Trae Young the whole entire game, it's very tiring. And I think Thybulle's job is just to kind of take that load off. But they need some scoring, and that's one of the things they struggle with when Joel Embiid is getting doubled and triple teamed, is when Tobias Harris isn't absolutely on, it's going to have to be someone else scoring the ball. And Ben Simmons, since he can't shoot the ball, it's really tough for him. He's good at getting to the rim and getting easy shots around the basket, but Shake Milton is a tireless scorer. So I think Shake Milton has the opportunity to, in this game, at $3,200, really smash that price tag. I could see him 10xing a day and scoring like 32 fantasy points. I think, although I only have him in for 20 minutes here, I think he could play up to 28 minutes or 30 minutes. Let's say he goes out there around the 6-minute mark and comes in the game for Simmons or Thybulle or Korkmaz or Curry, and he plays really well and they go on a bit of a run. You could see some extra minutes for Shake Milton. So at 3,200, I think Shake Milton is a hell of a play on the Philly side. I don't know how much ownership he's going to get. I think you're going to see Korkmaz be complete chalk today because he is starting. And if you want to get off of that chalk, Korkmaz is 3,500, I believe. Let me check to make sure. 3,500. You could go down, although it's a different position, you could go down to Shake Milton at 3,200, get a bit of a cheaper option and get a little bit less ownership, just to make yourself different. But they both grade out well. Like, I have Shake Milton in for almost 19 fantasy points at his price tag. I have Korkmaz in for almost 25. 28 minutes at 0.89 fantasy points per minute. Looks really dang good. But everyone else is going to see the same thing and play Korkmaz. It's a really easy play. I don't even hate playing them both in the same lineup. Let's say something happens to Curry, or you get Tobias Harris in foul trouble, or Ben Simmons in foul trouble or something. Shake Milton could play alongside of Korkmaz in the same way. So I really like Shake Milton as a $3,200 option as value here today. In terms of the studs, I love Joel Embiid. He's just going to be uber chalk because the center position is not great. So he's 10-5. It's a fair price tag on Joel Embiid. He's questionable. He's going to play in this one. He's been questionable every time. I have him in for 36 minutes. I have him in for just under 57 fantasy points. I mean, he looks really good. Guy's the highest upside on the slate, I would say. And it's Joel Embiid. I mean, he's going to be owned, but he looks really good on paper. So I'm not going to tell you not to play Joel Embiid. He looks really good, really dang good. Simmons, okay play in my opinion. You know, he's 7,600, fair price for him. I think he should be at all times anywhere in between 7,500 and 8K. Sometimes 8,300 if, you know, Joel Embiid is banged up. But the price is fine, man. He doesn't do much. He's not going to score a ton of points. He's not going to get you, you know, a ton of rebounds. He'll get you 6 to 12 assists every game. But the upside is there with him, right? It's a point where when you're playing Ben Simmons, you're not looking for him to have you know, 25 real points. You're looking for the triple-double, and you're looking for some blocks and steals. And he could easily do that in this game. But for me, I would just rather play a couple other guys in that same price range, right? Like, I'd rather pay $1,000 more and get to Paul George. If Mike Conley is able to go in this one and starts, I'd rather pay, you know, $700 less for Mike Conley if he's a good full to go. But I don't hate Ben Simmons. I just think his role right now is to play defense on Trae Young and really not do a whole lot else. So Ben Simmons, fine play to me. I'm not going to go over or not going to go crazy on him. I just think he's super average. Have him in for just right around 40 fantasy points. Tobias Harris, I have in for 43 fantasy points. Pretty similar to Ben Simmons, where you get the scoring out of Tobias Harris, but it's just not that exciting to play Tobias Harris. They go through Joel Embiid, right? When Joel Embiid is healthy, it's Joel Embiid every time down the floor. And if he's getting doubled and stuff, he will pass it out. But Tobias Harris isn't the initiator in this offense. It's Ben Simmons. So he's going to be getting the assists. Tobias Harris, he has to be shooting the ball really well, really efficiently, and he's going to have to get you rebounds, because he'll get you like 3 to 5 assists, maybe a steal, maybe a block. But for Tobias Harris, he has to really score the ball to get you there in fantasy. So him and Ben Simmons, not really too crazy about them. I think I'm going to avoid them for the most part on this slate and go to Joel Embiid a little bit more. I really like Joel Embiid. He's the main dude in this offense. Like, they go to him every time. He touches the ball almost every time. And even if he gets double teamed, he's still going up with it. So love Joel Embiid today. Seth Curry, his numbers don't really go anywhere with Danny Green off the floor. His rates are essentially the same. I have him in for 24.5 fantasy points in 32 minutes. He looks like a fine point per dollar play, but it really limits his upside when he's 5K. You're going to need a big shooting night from Seth Curry at that price tag, because he doesn't get rebounds, he doesn't get assists. Maybe he gets you 2 steals if you're lucky. He's going to have to score you 20 to 25 real points to get you there. He can do that, but he's going to have to be efficient. He only takes like 6 to 8 threes a game. He needs to hit 4 or 5 of them, sometimes even 6 to really get you there. So don't love the price on Seth Curry. I'd rather pay down $2,000 for Shake Milton. I think Shake Milton, honestly, this might sound crazy, has the same upside as Seth Curry. Seth Curry obviously gets there more, but I think Shake Milton could outscore Seth Curry on this. So I wouldn't be too surprised if he did, even in half the minutes. So, like I said, I like going to Shake Milton. I like taking a shot on Korkmaz like everyone else is going to. And I don't even hate playing Matisse Thybulle at 3,100. So this Philly team, I'm going to kind of stay away from the studs outside of Joel Embiid in the mid-range. I'm going to kind of use them to get the value there. Like I said, I like getting to Shake Milton. I like getting some Thybulle. I like getting some Korkmaz. If I had to rank them, it'd go 1, Shake Milton for me due to ownership, 2, Korkmaz, 3, Thybulle. But just in terms of point per dollar projections, Korkmaz is by far the best play in that range. And like I said, don't want to play Hill, don't want to play Howard, don't want to play Maxey. On to the Atlanta side. This team is really interesting in fantasy because you have the starters in Trae Young, Bogdanovich, Collins, and Capella. Those four guys are going to be pretty locked into their minutes. I have Trae Young in for 37. I have Bogdanovich in for 39 to 40, just depending on how the game flow goes. I have Collins in for 32. I have Capella in for 30. Capella could play 32-ish, 35 minutes, but it's really tough against Joel Embiid because he's going to pick up fouls. Like, I'd be really surprised if he didn't have 2 or 3 fouls going into halftime. It's just what Joel Embiid does. There's no possible way to guard him without fouling, because then you're just giving him buckets. You have to try to contest his shots, and you're going to get into fouls, especially the way Joel Embiid, not necessarily flops, but when he gets hit, he's going to make it known that he got hit. So that's the only reason Capella is a guy where he's not necessarily locked into his minutes, but he consistently plays 28 to 32 minutes as long as he's not in crazy foul trouble. We have Solomon Hill starting. I have him in for 14 minutes, and this is where the Atlanta team gets interesting, right? You're going to have Porter and Gallo playing the majority of the bench minutes, but they can go up and down. You know, you can have Porter play 35 minutes like he did a couple games ago, and you can have Gallo play 22, low 20s in minutes, or like you saw last game, you could have Huerta play low 20s in minutes and Gallo go up to almost 30 minutes. It's just dependent on a couple things. When Huerta's not shooting the ball well, and when Gallo's not shooting the ball well, they don't have a ton of of use on the court, because Trae Young is running this whole team. And if he's not, Bogdanovich is getting a good amount of time with the ball in his hand. So those guys are basically spot-up shooters. And if they're not shooting the ball well, it's just, you know, there's really no use of having them on the floor. So those guys will interchange. If Capella picks up foul trouble, you'll see Collins at the five and Gallo play the four. It just is very game script dependent. So those guys are basically toss-ups for me. You have Huerter at 4,800 and Danilo at 4,600. Huerter plays at 0.81 fantasy points per minute, and Gallo plays at 0.96. So Gallo, the much better fantasy producer. It's just who's going to be more owned. If you get way more ownership on Huerter, I'd rather go to Gallinari. If you get more ownership on Gallinari, I'd go to Huerter. So be aware. If they're equal in terms of ownership, I prefer Gallinari because he's a better fantasy producer. And while I think Huerter has the better opportunity to play more minutes, wouldn't be surprised if Gallo played more minutes. So with those two guys, those are the best value options you have on Atlanta. You're not going to play Lou Williams in 13 minutes. You could if you're really looking for value, but with the Philly value, I don't think it's necessary to go down there. You're not going to play Solomon Hill in 14 minutes. He's like a half fantasy point per minute guy. Same with Tony Snell. Even if he somehow picks up 20 minutes at 3K, he's a half fantasy producer, half a fantasy point per minute. The guy played 12 minutes last game, scored one fantasy point. So for me, it's the starters outside of Hill, kind of the opposite of Philly. It's the starters outside of Hill and some Huerter and some Gallo. In terms of the starters, you got Trae Young, Capella, John Collins, and Bogey. If I had to rank them, Collins would be last by a mile because he is now up to almost 6K. He played well last game. Don't get me wrong. Like, he scored 23 real points. If you told me he was going to go 10 for 14 from this field and score 23 real points, I would have thought he would smash that price tag at 5,800. But the problem is when he's out there with Clint Capella, he doesn't get rebounds. Like, the rebounding numbers are suppressed for him. It's hard for him to get blocks down there too because he's guarding Tobias Harris, which pulls him away from the basket. So even if he's uber efficient in his 14 shots, it's going to be really tough for him to get hit an upside of fantasy, man. Like, I have him in for 34 fantasy points, which technically looks good on paper, but I think that's a bit of an overproduction projection just in terms of the playoffs, because during the regular season, he saw a couple more looks, got a couple more opportunities to really try to score the ball. But now it's just, you know, everyone has zoned in on their offensive schemes, and he's really not part of this team in terms of their offense. It's Trae Young running the show. So Collins, last place for me, really not that interested in him today. Also, just a tough matchup for him against Philly. It really is. I'd go to Bogdanovich probably third to last. I would say he's my third favorite of the remaining four. Trae Young is my favorite. Capella second. Capella is now down to 7,100. He was 6% owned last slate, which I was super surprised to see. I had him, and he only scored 37 fantasy points, which isn't going to get you there in a tournament. But man, he had 16 rebounds, only 8 points. If he gets to like 12, 14 points and 16 rebounds at that price tag, he's going to completely smash, get you a couple blocks. If he stays out of foul trouble, I love Clint Capella at low ownership at 7,100. One of my favorite plays in terms of contrarian plays on the slate at 7,100, I think he's going to go under-owned again on this slate with Joel Embiid being able to play center, with Rudy Gobert being able to play center. I think people will even go back and try to reach for some Zubac at center. So for me, I think Capella is a really sneaky play, and I like getting different with him today. And then Trae Young, don't really have to say much. The dude's 9,200, still too cheap. He should be 9,500 to 9,700. I mean, I'll just do – I have him in for 37 minutes. I have him in for he plays at 1.35 fantasy points per minute. So I have him in for 49, almost 50 fantasy points. He's just too cheap. It's that simple. So Trae Young speaks for himself. And then Bogdanovich, last one, 6,400. The guy plays huge minutes. He just hasn't got there in fantasy. Like, he usually plays around a fantasy point per minute. He played 39 and 41 minutes in the last two games and only scored 26 and 27 fantasy points. I just think it's a result of Trae Young just really, really doing everything for this team. So I like Bogdanovich. It just depends on where the ownership is. If he's going to go under-owned, I like him today, man. Like, it's hard to project him because if you give him 39, 40 minutes and you have him at close to a fantasy point per minute, he looks like an absolute steal at 6,400. So he's going to have one of these blow-up games eventually. Don't hate going back to him today. All right, next game we got Utah at the Clippers. 232.5-point total. Clippers are favored by 5. I like Utah plus 5 again. I just don't think the Clippers are that big or that better of a team. Even at home, I don't think you can – I think these teams are pretty much equal on a neutral floor. So you can't tell me Clippers get 5 points for just being at home. So like the Jazz plus 5. We'll start with the Jazz, the away team. Mike Conley's questionable now coming into this game. I have him out as of now because I just don't know what to do. Don't know if he's going to play. You know, reports are saying that he could play. He's going to test the hamstring out and warm up, see how it feels. Maybe he'll play. Maybe he won't. There's just no real way to know. So for me, I have him out right now. If he's ruled in, it just hurts everyone else a little bit. I think Donovan Mitchell is kind of unchanged because he's still going to take a ton of shots and be the main guy in this offense. And 9K is a little bit too cheap for him anyway. So Donovan Mitchell really unchanged if Mike Conley's out. I don't think Rudy Gobert would be affected too much. Maybe it helps him even a little bit. But outside of that, it hurts Jordan Clarkson a bunch. It hurts Bogdanovich. Hurts Joe Ingles a ton. Maybe hurts Royce O'Neal a little bit too. So if he plays, like I said, Donovan Mitchell unchanged, Rudy Gobert unchanged, everyone else gets a significant downgrade from me. But right now I have him out. Donovan Mitchell looks really, really nice. I have him in for 37 minutes. I'm going to assume he's fully healthy after the ankle issue that he had last game. Have him in for 49 fantasy points. Upside with him is huge at that price. I really like him. If you're able to get him and Trae Young in the same lineup for 9K apiece, 9-2 Trae Young, 9K Donovan Mitchell, really high upside for not paying like Joel Embiid price or Kawhi Leonard price. Like, you get a bit of a discount for a guy that has just as high of an upside as those guys. Joe Ingles, fine play. Like I said, if Conley's in, it hurts him a bunch because he's going to go back to the bench and lose some minutes. But for right now, I have him starting. He's 5K, just a little bit too cheap for him. I think he should be around 5,500. Have him in for 30 fantasy points. I think he looks good. Really nice cash play if Conley's out. If Conley's out, I think you're going to almost have to have him in cash. And then Bogey, nice tournament play. He's not going to get ownership. He hasn't gotten a ton of ownership on any of these slates. Just didn't shoot the ball well last game. When he goes 2-for-10, he's not going to get you any fantasy points. So Bogdanovich, you just need him to have a nice shooting game. It's pretty random with him. So he's going to be decently low-owned, even more low-owned if Conley's in. So for those reasons, I don't hate him. He just doesn't look great on paper. I have him in for 32 fantasy points, just a fine play. Like, I think that's an over-projection just on my part because, like some of these other guys, like in the playoffs, he's not going to be playing at his usual 0.9 fantasy points per minute. He's more of a spot-up shooter. He's been playing huge minutes, but he hasn't taken the same volume of shots as he did not only in the last series but in the regular season in general. So, you know, he's a guy that's going to go out there and score 20 points, fantasy points sometimes, and go out there and score 50 others. It's a wide range of outcomes, which you're looking for in tournaments. Don't play him in cash. Royce O'Neal, fine play. Don't think there's a ton of upside. Like I've said in past slates, like Royce O'Neal at 4K, there's upside. 5K Royce O'Neal, not much upside. I'm really not that interested. Like a little bit of Gobert. Not interested in Clarkson either at 6,100 just because – When Donovan Mitchell is out there, Clarkson is going to play a lot of minutes alongside of him, and he's going to get shots up, but he just doesn't do much outside of shooting, right? Like, Jordan Clarkson's going to go out there. He can score you 25 points like he did a couple nights ago and still only score you 30 fantasy points. So he just doesn't do much. No rebounds, no assists from him. He's not going to do much in terms of defensive stats. Not really that interested in Jordan Clarkson, and I don't want to play any of the bench guys. It's kind of – really like Donovan Mitchell. I like going to some Gobert. Just not a whole lot else from Utah outside of some Joe Ingles. On to the Clippers side. This Clippers rotation is honestly ridiculous. I stared at it for about an hour today trying to figure out, you know, kind of what I wanted to do with this team. But you can't – like, this rotation is nowhere near set. It's completely based on game flow and individual success, right? Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are going to play 40 to 42 minutes a pop. And then outside of that, it's Reggie Jackson, Batum, Morris. Their minutes are all over the place. Like Batum played, like if you just go look at their minutes, Batum played 21 minutes in game one. He played 27 minutes in game two and now 35 in game three. Like, obviously that's a trend in the right direction, but I wouldn't be surprised if Batum went out there and played 21 minutes again and got some of his minutes taken away from Kennard. You got a guy like Rajon Rondo who was playing consistent minutes for this team. Like, he was playing 10 to 12 minutes a game, and in the Dallas series, playing like 20 minutes a game, and now he didn't even play last game. I mean, he played 28 minutes in game one, and now he's just not playing. It's, I mean, Pat Beverly as well, a guy who was not even in the rotation essentially in game one and played 21 and 16 minutes in the last two games. I just, Kennard, same way. Terrence Mann, same thing. Kennard played 29 in game one, down to 10 in game two, up to 17 in game three. Like, Terrence Mann, same thing. Played 8 minutes in game one, played 1 minute in game two, plays 22 minutes in game three. I mean, it's so completely random what Ty Lue is doing. You cannot, like, Reggie Jackson, I think's minutes are pretty consistent. He got into foul trouble in game one, but he should play anywhere between 28 and 35 minutes. But Ty Lue is just a shit show. And it's not a knock on Ty Lue at all. It's just he's not afraid to make adjustments and play who he wants to play. If anything, it's a positive. It's just really hard to figure out in terms of fantasy. Like Marcus Morris even. The dude played 21 minutes last game. He played 33 in game one and 37 in game two. And then he all of a sudden goes down to 22. And they won the game. So is that a sign that Morris needs less minutes? I really don't know. Like, I have Jackson in for 32. I have Paul George in for 42. I have Batum in for 32. I have Leonard in for 40. Morris in for 28. I have Beverly in for 14. Zubac in for 15. Kennard and Mann in for 15 apiece because I don't know what to do with their minutes. And then I have Rajon Rondo in for 8 because I don't know if he's going to play zero again, but I don't know if he can go out there and play 28 like he did. I just don't know. I think the smartest thing is I think Rondo plays anywhere between a do not or a coach's decision not playing 0 minutes and like 10 minutes. I think that's the most likely scenario because he didn't play last game. They played well and they won. So we'll see. Could be completely flipped on my head and just play a completely different rotation this game. But like I said, this is so random. And for that reason, man, I want to play Kawhi Leonard and I want to play Paul George. And when I look at those two guys, Paul George is playing at 1.24 fantasy points per minute. Kawhi Leonard's playing at 1.31. George has consistently played one or two or three extra minutes than Kawhi Leonard. And they're pretty similar in terms of production. So for that reason, I just prefer George. He's $1,400 less expensive. Sure, on average, he probably scores three or four less fantasy points than Kawhi Leonard, but I mean, that would assume, you know, maybe $800 in price difference, not $1,600. So for me, I prefer Paul George because of the price. Just look at ownership. If he gets a lot more ownership than Kawhi Leonard, which I doubt, then I would prefer Kawhi Leonard. But for right now, Paul George looks a lot better on paper for me. And then I like Batum. He's just too cheap, in my opinion, at $4,500. The minutes, like I said, are trending in the right direction. He plays at around like 0.75 to 0.8 fantasy points per minute, which isn't great. But if he's able to pick up 35 minutes again, he just projects really, really nicely. In 4,500, he should be closer to 5K, maybe even like 5.2 if he gets 30-ish minutes. So for me, really like Batum. And then if you want to take shots at Kennard and Mann, don't hate it. I prefer them to Rondo at this point. I prefer them to Patrick Beverly just because they're better fantasy producers. And Pat Beverly really isn't. I mean, he shoots threes, but he's not going to do much else. So if you want to get different, playing some Kennard and Terrence Mann at 31 and 3,200, honestly, I don't even hate playing Rajon Rondo. Let's say he gets in there and plays well and is able to play, you know, 20-ish minutes at his – or 18 even at his fantasy point per minute. 3,300, no one's going to own him after getting a did-not-play last game. Like, for sure, if you want to play Rajon Rondo in tournaments, that's a way to get different. I don't necessarily hate it. And then Zubac, another dude, man, where this guy, 20 minutes game one, started game two, only played 14, got into some foul trouble, and then only played 13 off the bench last game. At 3,700, he can get there. He just needs to pick up the minutes, and I really don't know if he is. Another guy where I think he'll still get some ownership, like around 15%, but I think that honestly that's right where it should be. So, you know, if it ends up getting like sub 10, I think that looks really nice. But if it gets anywhere near 20, I'll just avoid it. Yeah, that's about it for this team as well. Really, really random team. I think if you have a good feeling about who is going to play for this team, like let's say you think Pat Beverly is going to pick up 24 minutes this game for some reason, or you think Kennard played really well last game, is going to earn him some extra minutes, go ahead and play these guys. They're cheap. The reason they're cheap is because, you know, they go out there and can play 0 minutes, and then they'll go out and play 20 randomly. So if you have a good feeling on these guys, go ahead and play them. They're going to be low-owned. It's a way to get different. Yeah, play the Paul Georges and the Kawhi Leonard on this team because they are the ones that are locked into their minutes, and they're the ones that do everything for this team in terms of fantasy production. Good luck today. Appreciate you guys tuning in like always. But we have some good basketball on tonight. Like outside of fantasy, I'm really excited to watch both of these games. I hope you guys are too. Talk soon. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Like always, peace.